having quite the festivities today with a lot of special events and music, and downtown should be a little busier today. Other than that, the big thing happening this week are high school graduations. The Special Events Review Committee receives graduation notices from schools. The big one, of course, would be Tucson Unified School Tucson High School, 6th Street. At least one lane will be closed, I understand, tomorrow. So tomorrow is their high school graduation. And I'm going to get to a little bit more of that with item number 6. But essentially just, you know, whenever we see an impact forthcoming, we will step up some of our garage security. We're not doing that this week. We didn't see a need to, but we definitely keep an eye on that. Last week, we had an increase in garage security as well. So just looking at covering all the hours and all the special days. And I'll take any questions.
This is Janine. Why did the parking agents leave?
Yes, one of them was due to schedule. The nighttime schedule didn't jive with it. So that's part of the reason. You know, we always hear about the hourly wage as a contributing factor, but we are looking at you know, increased training. I'm going to develop a PowerPoint for an introduction, and also some de-escalation training as well. One of the agents just really couldn't handle the negative feedback that was received out on the street. Our parking agents are subject to a lot of attitudes, and you can imagine the type of reactions they get from the public. And if you can't handle that in a professional way or walk away from it, which this PSA could not, he responded back. That's just not the type of parking service agent we're looking for. We're looking for someone that's going to keep the peace, you know, and just go with the flow as much as possible and not let that stuff affect them. So, yeah, a combination of a few things, Janine. It's definitely the environment, the pay, and the schedule has a lot to do with it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, we try to provide them as much information up front as possible when they're interviewing or applying for the job. You know, the schedule is there, the type of work is well defined. But I think at the beginning, right off the top, we have to be a little more, I don't think transparent is the word. I think it's just more call to their attention the type of things they're going to encounter on the job here. Definitely a little frustrating not having a full staff, but we are trying our best. All right. Jeffrey, should we move on to number 5? I think you're muted.
Sure. Yes, please. Yep.
Okay. Excellent. Item number 5, residential / special events parking program request update. So I had, or JR and I both had a conversation with the Sam Hughes neighborhood and the Rincon Heights neighborhood. This is regarding the addition of women's basketball games to the special events parking program in the Sam Hughes and Rincon Heights neighborhoods. So what we explained to the neighborhoods and the head of the neighborhood associations attended this meeting, what we explained was that in order to change parking restrictions, a petition process is required, as is normal for any parking restriction changes in neighborhoods. And what we explained was that 75% of the homes within the special events area specifically would have to petition to the program. The response from the neighborhoods was that they did not want to conduct the legwork to do the petition They thought it was a little hard for them to do that. It would take some work going around the neighborhood. So that right away, you know, is kind of a stumbling block if they're not going to do a petition. We looked at the form. The form, when you sign up for the residential parking permits, it says basketball games, and they were arguing that that should mean all basketball games, but it really means men's basketball games, and that was the spirit of the program, the intent. The only games that we did the special events for were men's basketball, so a little semantics there that we had to work through. Essentially, you know, they said that they would get back to us if they have any further questions, but at this time, it does not appear that those neighborhoods are going to pursue the addition of the women's basketball games to the event program. And we said that we're here to try to make the process as easy as possible, walk them through it, and provide any support we can, but it has to come from the neighborhoods in order to make that change. So at this time, it's kind of status quo until we hear further from the special event neighborhoods. And I'll take any questions.
Thank you.
No problem.
Tom, I have a quick question about that.
Yes.
What process does the city require? Do you, do they literally go house to house and just write down, yeah, this person said yes, they're in favor? Or, like, how do you validate that they actually did the work and that those homeowners actually are voting in favor of?
Absolutely. Yeah, so there's a form online on our residential permit program page. The residents would print that out, and they would go door-to-door collecting signatures. There's a signature page, and then that's handed into Park Tucson. There are phone numbers listed. They have to put a phone number, so we call each resident and verify over the phone if they've signed that or not.
Got it. So it is very sort of manual, I guess, for the people trying to rally the troops. There's no way to, like, for the association to just send out a link, go here and click in favor kind of thing, right? That's a little bit old school.
Yes, it is. It is a little old school. It is a normal city process. For example, the neighborhood traffic mitigation office, they do the same thing when it comes to changes in neighborhoods. So the city is a little old school when it comes to those processes, I have to admit, but we do require a hard signature and that to be turned into the office, and then we verify.
Sure. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, if no other questions, shall I move to number 6?
Yes, please.
All right, school parking neighborhood impacts and resource update. This is what I was alluding to at the Tucson High graduation. We've been working with a couple schools recently, but most recently Tucson High. So tomorrow is graduation. What I did was I spoke with the vice principal at Tucson High, and they were actually proactive and reached out to us. They're trying to be good neighbors to advise what type of procedures they have for parking tomorrow night for graduation. One good thing that I heard was that there are remote parking operations with shuttles. So they're, my understanding is they're going to be using the Tyndall Garage at U of A and promoting other U of A garages. They are promoting the use of the Sunlink streetcar from the U of A. They're providing shuttles as well themselves. They're also suggesting for parents to use the Centro Garage downtown and take the streetcar in as well. And really enforcing, you know, reinforcing the same type of procedures that they've been reminding the parents and students about all year regarding student pickups and drop-offs, is that to respect the neighborhood. That's something that I heard from the vice principal, that they want to be a good neighbor and respect the neighborhood. They have reached out to the Iron Horse neighborhood to give them a heads up. Park Tucson is not going to have extra staffing to, you know, address the immediate area. We are available for calls anytime, and we will respond to calls as needed. But, you know, with the combination of the high school reaching out to parents and the parents knowing, you know, what the impacts are, we hope that it's going to be as least impactful as possible. The school is also encouraging guests to take ride shares like Uber or Lyft to carpool. And they have convinced me that they've been aggressive in reaching out to students and parents about graduation. So, you know, I'm going to reach out to Iron Horse today and make sure that they understand everything that's going on as well. And we're just hoping for a nice graduation tomorrow night from Tucson High. We're also working with South Point High School. South Point reached out to the city about various neighborhood traffic mitigation efforts. So they've actually submitted a letter with several points of requests. So we're looking at that. Department of Transportation has a majority of these requests, but Park Tucson, there's one for Park Tucson. So continuing to work with the schools and reducing neighborhood impacts as much as possible. And I'll take any questions.
Do you know what are the hours of the graduation? And you said it's tomorrow night?
It's tomorrow night. The vice principal told me 4:30 p.m. for the parking operation. So I'm going to guess that the graduation is closer to 6 or 7 o'clock. And I'll verify that. But it is in the late afternoon evening.
Thanks.
I'm on the website now. It looks like it says 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Yeah.
I'm only checking because it's the first I've heard of them using the university parking garage.
Yeah, they definitely mentioned the Tyndall garage on the phone, Jim.
Okay.
It's good they have a plan this time.
Yeah. Okay, congratulations to all the graduates.
Benedictine?
All right, the Benedictine venue and Miramonte neighborhood parking impacts. I'll bring up the map here to show everybody the location of the Benedictine. Right now it does show as an apartment complex, but the main building is being transformed into a venue for entertainment. It's a 600 seat venue at the complex here. We're near the intersection of Country Club and Speedway here. So the Miramonte neighborhood is to the east of the Benedictine. You can see the outline of the Miramonte neighborhood. The Park Tucson boundaries, where we focus on our core, is Country Club is the boundary to our east. We do not have programs or offer residential parking programs outside our boundary at this time. So this is really a two-pronged issue. Number one, the Benedictine and developers have been proactive in trying to mitigate any impacts to the neighborhood. They're looking ahead. And what they first, the first order of business they have is employee parking. So they want to keep as much parking available to their guests in their development. So what they're doing is encouraging employees to park just to the east of the Benedictine on Anderson Boulevard. And Anderson Boulevard is a pretty quiet street. I'll show you typically, this is what it looks like. Here's the Benedictine on the left side. It's generally completely wide open. And you know, the homes are on the other side of the street. And the drive, this neighborhood does have a lot of driveways and a lot of off-street parking in the neighborhood. So the Benedictine is going to encourage their employees to park along Anderson. There are no parking restrictions. As you can see, there's no signs restricting parking on Anderson. It is quite a long stretch. It does accommodate quite a few cars. and that will be their go-to for their employee parking. For guest parking, there are a few lots up here that the Benedictine is going to operate. So there's a lot just to the north here that they're going to have paid parking for. And there's a lot over here they're working with just to the east of the Walgreens store here for parking as well. So they're going to put information on their website for those events for guests to find the parking to the north of the venue. They're going to be provided strict instructions on where those locations are and how to pay. They're also going to encourage a ride share as well to the venue. So that is really what the Benedictine's plan is. They asked for special employee parking permits on Anderson. And unfortunately, Park Tucson does not have a program to offer for employee parking in general or on the street, as well as, you know, being outside our boundary. So Park Tucson's hands are tied a little bit when it comes to that. So we could not fulfill their request on designated permitted parking. But we feel that with the availability of parking on Anderson, they should be okay there. The other item is residential impacts and permit parking requests from Miramonte neighborhood. And it's a very similar, you know, story. Because they're outside our boundary, we don't offer a permit program. So they were interested in it, and they do anticipate some impacts from this venue, but we could not offer the program. What we did was we did a little bit of research, and we looked up what it would take to expand the boundary of our core neighborhood to see what would it take to expand our boundary and do a program outside. So I'm just going to share a little bit of information that I found. And we looked up the codes when it comes to Park Tucson and establishing the boundaries. So right away from our declaration of policy for Park Tucson, it states, although the primary focus of Park Tucson will be within the city center, mayor and council may direct Park Tucson to implement and manage self-supporting parking programs in other areas of the city should the need arise. The city manager or managers designee may enter into agreements with private property owners to operate and manage parking lots and structures, so long as Park Tucson covers the anticipated costs out of anticipated revenues from the agreement. The second part here is definitely something we do on a regular basis. We do manage parking lots with private entities. However, the first part here, city center, it would take mayor and council to direct us to leave the city center and go outside the boundaries. So if the need arises, we can approach mayor and council with that. We do know about the neighborhood parking program. This is what would apply in that case. I'm not going to read all this. We learned all about that last year with our incentive program. We do have some flexibility. For example, the administrator may designate certain portion of residential areas that are adjacent to non-residential areas as shared parking areas and may provide for the issuance of permits in these areas. These areas are currently restricted to around 4th Avenue. We do have what we call shared parking areas in 4th Avenue area, where when it comes to residents and non-residents sharing some on-street parking. We just don't see a need right now around the Benedictine for this or really any other areas, but we would, you know, look at that if there is an excessive amount of parking continuously happening where the excess capacity is needed. Furthermore, you know, we do have the right to enforce neighborhood parking programs, of course. And oh, this was just special events permit parking. I want to highlight that as it relates to the previous item. We do have the right for special events parking program. And the director of transportation is authorized to establish additional permit parking areas and to establish annual parking permit fees. This is related to our non-residential employee commuter parking program. We do already have our designated areas. They are strictly around the University of Arizona right now and in downtown. So we are not looking to expand that area at this time. But we do have the authority to establish additional permit parking. But right now, it's really within the city center and the neighborhoods that we already operate in. And mayor and council may change, modify, eliminate fees or parking programs established by the director. So really, mayor and council has a lot to do here when it comes to expanding our programs. And if there is enough need for this and impacts, we would have no problem going to mayor and council and explaining that. So,
unfortunately,
yes.
With all the stuff that Rio Nuevo has done, has not City Center been expanded to include Elkhorn?
When it comes to them, it might have been, but when it comes to Park Tucson, it hasn't affected our boundaries.
Okay.
Yeah. But we can definitely, you know, keep our eye on that and see if, you know, there is a need. Right now we are stretched a little thin. It would maybe be, you know, not the best time for us to expand our boundaries right now. But if needed, we would definitely address the issue.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, out of the meeting with the Benedictine, we all agreed, you know, a wait and see approach. We're going to see how the events, you know, how the event parking goes. We will monitor it and talk with the neighborhood and the developers, the operators of the Benedictine, to see how each of those events unfolds. All right. And if there's no other questions, we'll take future agenda items.
I say we meet the Benedictine on for right now.
Okay. I will make sure to get a schedule. I don't have a schedule yet for them, for their events and when they're starting. So I'll give you a schedule update next time as well.
Thank you.
Got it.
Hey, Tom, what kind of events are they going to have? I mean, is it like a special event thing for like weddings, or is it like a concert venue kind of thing?
Both. Concert venues, definitely musical performances, plays, but also available for weddings and those type of events as well.
Okay.
But a 600-seat venue, it's pretty big.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. All right.
Anyone else?
Nothing for me.
It's 7. All right. 7:57. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Al.